Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Risotto, do you not know I don't like heavy metal? Did somebody not tell you?
You like Metallica.
I'm telling you now.
Well, okay. That's one of the reasons why I'm playing it.
Okay. Noted. All right, it's crossover time. Let's welcome in Dan Dibley and Mark Willard. Hey, guys. What's going down?
Hi, Steiny.
Hey, hey.
What's up, fellas?
All right, Risotto.
Maybe the music is for the listeners, not for you.
Wow.
Yeah. I think most of us are operating under the assumption that you can't hear anyway, especially during the crossover.
Wow.
You usually tune out. Now you're listening.
Oh, I thought that was an age thing.
I did too.
Yeah. It was, and then I saw your face and that you didn't like that.
You know what?
So I decided to switch it up a little.
And
longer.
You know what? Since you went that way.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that game 7, Mark?
It sucked.
Game 7 of the final?
Yeah,
oh, what do you mean?
It sucked.
OKC took advantage of injury. Got to tip your cap.
Good for them. Yeah, tip your cap. They're the best team all year. That doesn't resonate with me. What resonates with me is that it seems like half the league's legs are blowing up. And I find it actually bothersome because I'm very, very much of the opinion that it is, these are all overuse injuries, but I don't blame the overuse on, we keep blaming it on the playoff schedule, which has been the same for years.
Years.
I don't think, it's not the playoff schedule. It's the fact that these guys don't take breaks in the offseason. They don't get away from the sport. And I don't know why I haven't been thinking about it like this more until now. I find it pretty bothersome that they will take more breaks during the season than players ever did before, but they won't take breaks in the off season, and that's what's leading to this. So they're kicking their own butt twice. Actually, they're kicking their own butt and they're kicking our butt at the same time.
Yeah,
the fans get hosed and their bodies get hosed, and it's stupid. It's unproductive. Evan?
I mean, it's tough because the guys who went down outside of Dame are all pretty young. Tatum's not very old.
Right.
Halliburton's 25. It just left me with such an empty feeling watching the remainder
totally.
Of that game.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Once me and my brother saw the highlight, we just got up and cracked a cold one and took a lap. Like, it just wasn't, even if the Pacers had come back to win, I was just imagining how they're doing the finals MVP. Is it Halliburton? Is it not? He's on the stage. There's just something so anticlimactic about that ending. And for a player who's probably built more, I don't know, positive coverage for himself over the course of this postseason than anybody to get to the pinnacle of his profession and have it be the worst and best day of his life at the same time, it just hit me. Like, I felt like I was kind of cheated. Out of something.
All of us.
As a viewer.
You know, I was at my brother-in-law's house, and, you know, he had the outdoor pizza oven going. We're doing pizzas and salad.
Nice.
And my daughter, who's almost 3, is running around, and, you know, she's having fun, and we're watching the game. Yeah, thank you. Inside, and all of a sudden, it happens, and he goes down. It's like, oh, man. And Mike, who actually works for the NBA, you can go ahead and drop it again, he comes in, and he's like, oh, boy. And we both sat there together, and we watched it. It was like, oh, my God. Like, shivers, because you could see it on the replay. Like,
totally. Who works for the NBA?
My brother-in-law.
Oh, brother-in-law.
Yeah. My brother-in-law, yes. My wife's sister's husband.
Okay. What's he do?
I can't reveal it.
Oh,
but
wow.
Well, he does, like,
he's
special
one of those.
Projects.
Like the CIA of the NBA. That's a lot of letters.
He does, like, he's kind of a freelancer. He does special projects.
Okay.
He does, like, you know, freelance video stuff. It's actually incredible.
Does he know any of the refs?
No, but Scott Foster did not get the assignment. Which
no,
I
he
was,
didn't. Well, that's because he's the extender, and you can't extend that series.
Right.
It's
and
literally
I don't
impossible.
You probably didn't see this because you don't actually, you know, look at positive coverage of officials, but...
Is there such a thing?
Rick Carlisle was like, Scott Foster is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
no,
amazing.
He was defending them because everybody was getting all hot and bothered about one particular game. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, okay.
No, I remember
good.
That.
Yeah.
No, I actually am not even mad at the refs. What I'm mad at is, I guess, you've seen this, like, you can't set a screen anymore in the NBA. Because when you do, people just fly across the floor and fall, and the refs fall for it every time. And I want to know why why we can't get them like looking at that a little bit differently.
Well, I mean,
humongous men don't fall when you run into a screen.
Right, but
that
at the same time,
happen that way.
Like the majority of the screens, if you take an NBA game and there are probably what 200 screens set, I would argue that 180 of them are illegal.
Oh, and if you're moving, that's fine. What I'm bothered by is the guy that goes sprawling 5 feet in the other direction as if somebody just catapulted him across the floor. And when you see that out of your corner of your eye, you call a foul. Lou Dort did this in the backcourt last night.
Oh, I hated that play.
It was an absurd call. And the only explanation is that the ref saw it out of the corner of his eye. So he called it. And it's like, I would love for the default to be, I didn't see it. I didn't see it, so I can't call it. So therefore, if somebody gets away with an illegal screen, fine. But if you fall, I feel like 92% of the time, the whistle blows and we're going the other way. And it's like, that's not what happened. That's all. I'm not mad at the refs. It's not their fault.
You know who else did that?
Who?
Earlier in the postseason? Pods.
Oh, Pods was horrible with
constantly.
It. Constantly.
Constant. That hair flies and it's like.
So a guy's running down the court.
Yeah.
And you just step in front of him.
Yep.
That to me is.
Does it make you feel
better? That should be a technical foul.
I agree with you. Does it make you feel better that Pods gets as mad at the refs as a fan as he does as a player? I don't know if you watched the Valkyries game.
I heard he was more subdued.
Not much.
Oh!
His palms were up constantly in the second half of that basketball game, even though things were going very well.
Yeah,
they're up by 20 the whole game. Right. He's still getting in their face. At least he's not doing it to the other players now. It's just the refs.
Well, mind if I do
it? Chase Caitlin once.
That's true.
Real quick non sequitur. Dibs, of your siblings, who's the most likely and least likely to listen to your show?
Most likely Gail.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Least Gail. Likely Doug.
Okay. Where does Mike fit in?
Clearly in the middle.
Yeah. Mike is in the middle.
Yeah,
where's
only
he
one
at?
More left.
In the middle.
Yeah.
Mikey 2.0 is, you know, he's out and about. He's doing his thing. But, you know, I don't even know if he, like, would come across it unless I texted him.
Now,
like, why are you asking?
I'm asking.
Doug, no chance.
I'm asking, and I don't know.
We used to call him the Una Brother, but go ahead.
I like
that's
that.
That's an amazing nickname. I don't even know if I get it, but I love it anyway.
No, you remember the Unabomber.
Yeah. No, I get that part.
Right.
I don't know what he did to earn the Una Brother.
Doug would, like,
live in a shack.
Live in the Bay Area, and, like, he would be, like, 17 years in the garage. Like, you would never hear from him, ever.
Okay. Okay.
The Una Brother.
I
Hurricane
like
Gale, Una Brother. Mikey 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know I golfed with Mikey 2.0 yesterday.
Of course.
He was in the foursome.
Was he with you?
He was in our foursome.
And he was delightful.
Was he?
He was gregarious.
Wait a minute. Were you there?
No, God, no.
So how do you know this?
Because we have a thread on our golf tournament, which is coming up in 3 weeks. And part of the thread is, hey, you know, Sunday, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We need 8. And people are like, I'm in. And my brother, first Dibs, he calls himself, which whatever. He was never Dibs until I was Dibs. So that's neither here nor there.
All right.
But he is, if you don't know him, gregarious, delightful, fun, friendly, outgoing, all the rest of it.
It's like golfing with an animated Jim Nance.
Hello, friends!
I made the mistake once. So I
that's amazing.
I hit a drive and I'm like, I didn't see it. He sees everything. Okay, you're off to the left, you see that path, that brown spot, you're right below that brown spot between those two shrubs, see the green shrub and then the red shrub. You just duck hooked it a little bit. Not a terrible shot, but I think you can get to the green from there. You sure you know where it is? Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah,
that's
Mike.
Amazing.
It's
that's Mike, amazing.
He's
sounds no, like he's a really fun round.
He is helpful. He's very helpful. I've only met him once, and he was all the things that you just said.
You met him once. Yeah.
I met him once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also a pretty good golfer.
Well, I mean, not to get too much into his golf game, but like normally when you play golf, Evan, like you know, you set up and you put the club like behind the ball.
Sure.
And it's, you know, the club is like, okay, the club is flat behind the ball. This man will close it. He's a lefty. He will close the club to where you look at it, it's like, there's no way you can hit it like that. And he does.
It's like he's got a 100-pence swing with the golf club.
Golf is that sport. We all have at least three friends who do stuff where you watch them line up for the ball and you're like, there's absolutely no chance that this goes anywhere that want it to go. And then sometimes it does. Golf is that sport. You can use completely bananas movements and somehow, some way, potentially make it work.
Yeah, he's it was a lot of fun. Right. Don't try to do that.
Well, no, you seem to be hyping it up.
Yeah, that's the whole point, isn't it? I've only played with him one other time, I think, and I can't really remember.
Yeah.
And I mean, he introduced himself yesterday.
He'll do that.
Right.
I remember that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I want to be fair and balanced and just say, I can't stand him.
Well, like you talk so much less on a course than him. Right. I just didn't expect it.
That's, right.
You know what I mean?
You know, yeah. Me on the course, you and me and like, your ball, I'll help you find it. You'll help me, whatever. It's like, we're playing golf. This man is a chatterbox. And yeah, I'm
great
good.
Guy, though.
Yeah, sure.
Kevin Durant to the Rockets. What do you think?
I think that the Rockets are suddenly in a pretty good spot. And I think the Phoenix Suns are this decade's cautionary tale. And Dibs will back me up on this. I told everybody in the world that they needed to trade him last offseason, and they didn't do it, even though it was the most obvious thing in the world. Instead, they doubled down, kissed his butt with a press conference, decided with new ownership that they were going to win, have three of the highest-priced players in the game, and didn't even make the play-in tournament, which is beyond embarrassing, and now got completely fleeced on a deal for one of the best players in the NBA. I feel terrible for Devin Booker because he's awesome. He's not just an awesome player. He's an awesome dude. If you listen to the show with any regularity, you know my best friend in life is the voice of the Suns. Devin Booker is like, he loves Devin Booker. John Bloom.
You love John.
Not Gambadoro? What's that?
What about Gambadoro?
What about Gambadoro?
I love Gambo, but Gambo, I love John
Gambo's
Bloom.
Gambo's a radio guy in Phoenix.
Yeah.
The voice of the Suns.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Get John's down there.
I feel terrible.
Who are you?
For Devin Booker, and I have no idea what the Suns are going to be bad now for a while.
Maybe you and I ought to make a bet, but first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Not quite a guru bet, but I am going to need odds. So this is my bold...
Unlikely, then.
This is my bold hot take.
Okay. Suns are winning it all next year.
Now, how many games did the Rockets win last year?
52.
Yep. How many games did the Suns win?
36.
All right.
Okay.
I got the Suns winning more than 36 next year.
Okay.
And the Rockets winning less than 52. That's a hot take.
It's not that hot.
Please.
First of all, the Rockets winning less than 52.
Then they didn't get fleeced.
Yeah, they did.
Well, then how could they have gotten fleeced and then gotten better?
Because what if they win 37 games and you're better. Right and they still suck? They're still who cares?
Well, they're better.
No.
Yes.
No, stop being so, like, life is not about X's and O's like that. That's like, you can't do that.
That's my point. It's like, I don't necessarily think Durant to the Rockets, they're going to win 58.
We all thought the Warriors were better two seasons ago than they were one season ago, but they won more games one season ago, and they missed the playoffs entirely. That's not a good marker.
It's a regular season bet.
The point is the Suns are in trouble for a long time. They have no direction now. This was done at the 5 second-round picks.
That's a lot of picks.
The Warriors know this. When you start doing a bucket of second-round picks, that means we don't know what else to do. They were involved in one of these, the James Wiseman deal.
Don't let the Suns pluck a star at number 10.
Okay.
Don't let them.
They won't.
Because if they do.
They might.
What's his name's fallen?
Cedric Coward. Oregon's own.
What's his name is fallen?
No, this guy went to Willamette.
Yeah.
Okay. His first year. Nice. No, he's rising up the boards. Whatever.
Yeah. Top 10 guy.
No,
Houston Phoenix are...
Keep an eye out.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatevering Willamette.
How about this, Dibs?
Willamette.
Sure. I'm starting to get a little something
Keep an
here.
Eye out.
All right. So you tell Willard.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rockets, I don't think, are going to win 52. Suns are going to win more than 36. He's got a problem with the whole premise.
I don't want the bet. You were offering it as a bet. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's all. I don't want the bet. That's fine. Okay.
But... You kind of denigrated the whole concept.
I don't think it means what you're saying it means. I don't live black and white like that means the Suns are better. No, it doesn't.
If the Phoenix Suns,
Kevin Durant was hurt,
win one more game next year than they do this year, and they win one more game the following year, they're going to be a 60-win team, Mark, in 2040. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
Yeah, if you think that this was not the Suns putting their tail between their legs and leaving the party, I don't know what to tell
you. So, Steiny, if the Rockets win 50 games in the regular season.
All right.
But they make it to the second round.
Okay.
Were they worse than last year?
During the regular season.
Good job, Evan. Right.
I'm just saying, that's why Durant is in Houston. That's why they wanted to bring him to Houston. I'm a little more with Willard. But.
Well, they better get further than the second round.
Well, they have to do is get further than the first round, because that's where they got eliminated this season.
Right.
In order to get better. You
know? But they can't do it incrementally.
Why not?
Because they just acquired a 37-year-old guy. They gotta skip a step with him now.
Well, they think they have action. That's why they went and got him. They also didn't have to, like, they gave up a player that they clearly didn't believe in long term and the 10th pick, which doesn't help them this season.
I told you I can't really.
Brooks is probably the biggest loss, honestly.
Culture.
Of that deal. Yeah, I think.
I mean, for Desmond Bane to go for 4 first-round picks and a pick swap, and Kevin Durant goes for 1 first-round pick, that tells you all you need to know about the position Phoenix was in. I get that Kevin's older, but give me a break. Phoenix was optionless. They were totally, totally stuck. And ownership and poor executive maneuvers ran that thing into the floor. Hired the wrong coach, made the wrong moves, held on to the wrong people. Totally, totally got exposed, and they're in trouble for a long time.
Well, they had no choice, and we talked last year at this time, and you said there's no way they can keep all three of these guys, and I said, well, they can, and they did, and it didn't work out.
Now they're paying for it.
And now they're paying for it because now, you know, KD is going to be 37 in September, and now you're in a spot where you have to do something, and you won't trade Booker, and you can't trade Beal because somehow he has a no-trade clause.
Incredible. You might trade Booker because Booker might call you tomorrow and say, get me the hell out of here.
Right.
There's not enough basketballs on the team. I got to go. Not enough.
I mean, now he's got the basketball, so.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston... Did they get better? Yeah, they got better, but did they get better enough? We'll see. And, you know, depends on how those pieces work around KD. And now you don't have Jalen Green, who I think is a little bit Kuminga-esque in terms of in 3 to 5 years, he's going to be better than he is now. But right now, Houston needs him to be their one or their 1B, and he's not that guy.
Do any of you guys remember what the Warriors would have had to give up for KD? I know Kuminga was a part of it.
Yep.
Wiggins, I think, had to go
too. Of course. Yep. They had to match the money.
Okay. Wiggins, Kuminga, and multiple firsts, I think. 2 or 3.
I try to find that. I mean, it
might have been a three-way trade, too, that convolutes it a little bit.
A lot more than they gave up for Jimmy. A lot more.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, would you rather have Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks or Kuminga and Wiggins? I might rather take Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks.
Nah.
You're talking about looking at it from Phoenix's side of things.
Yeah, like I don't think they got raked over the coals.
No, I think it's something that they, to Dib's point, like they had to trade him. I mean, he's going to be an expiring. Had no interest in signing it, from everything that people were reporting, he had all the power and where he decided to go. So it was between Houston, San Antonio, and Miami, and Houston pulled the trigger. I mean, I don't think it's nothing. Like, I wouldn't say they got fleeced, but compared to what they had to give up for him, which was four unprotecteds, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, that's not exactly a great return.
Yeah. All right, lastly.
Oh.
Get this, Willard.
Lastly at 207?
Yeah, we got one more thing to discuss.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Really, really long topic.
Sure.
Well, anyway, the conversation could just end by its own volition.
It could.
At 209.
It could.
It could stretch on
purpose. Yeah. On purpose.
Willard, what do you think of, you know, we've had 6 days to absorb Rafi Devers. What do you think of that Giants lineup with him in it?
It's better.
Yeah, Evan says it's the same. Have fun, guys. He says same offense.
That's too short of a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you guys continue.
It did not die.
No, you guys continue.
It didn't die on its own volition.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm just saying.
You definitely flinched. It starts with your opinion.
No, you absolutely
flinched. No, it's not my opinion. It's Evan.
No, you threw it out. What do you think?
Yeah, why don't you let Evan speak for himself, by the way? I don't trust you right now with the way you deliver.
So what's the question?
The question
is. You asked the question.
Is Oracle Park a bandbox is the question. That thing's a bandbox. They need to move the fences back. Your thoughts?
My thought is, you know, the Giants.
Not yesterday.
Oh, you didn't watch it. It's okay.
I watched the whole. Hey, Dibs.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dibs.
Hey, Matt.
Don't do this.
Then give me a take.
Who were the three Giants to homer yesterday?
Let's Schmidt.
That ball always, got Schmidt on.
Who always Schmitty. Does.
Yep.
Ramos.
Yep.
And Yaz.
Nope. Wrong. Thanks for watching
Hold
the game.
On. Yeah. Oh, Yaz homered the day before.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Yeah. You were right about Yaz. You were wrong about Ramos. He did not homer yesterday.
Must have been.
No, he big extra base hit yesterday.
Yeah, no, you missed, no, was, you missed the homer.
Yeah,
Willie.
No,
Willie.
You missed the Adamas homer late in the game. That's what you missed.
Nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the clutch home run.
Made it go from 8-5 to 9-5. That's when the Sox knew they weren't coming back.
Well, what that
cost Duvall a save.
What that, that's right. That's
go.
Right. That's right. Not a safe situation for Duvall.
He was pointing at Duvall when he rounded second base.
The lineup
it's like,
is
take
better
the day off.
Yeah. When Chappie, as you like to call him, when Chappie comes back and Schmitty goes to second, then the lineup is better. So, yes, for now, is the lineup better? I mean,
it's already
maybe.
Better. It's
yes,
already better.
But it'll be much Mo better coming up. Mo better, cheese and cheddar.
Especially if Casey Schmidt can get some consistency going and become their second baseman.
Well, there's a vacancy.
He's got the third highest OPS on the team right now.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Smaller sample.
It's a problem.
But, yeah, he's on one right now, which is great.
No, he's swinging to more pitches in the zone. Looks a lot more comfortable.
Yep.
It's just my point earlier was watching the first week with Devers, and granted, it's been six games. They kind of look like the same team, which is a good team, but they're going to be dependent on how well they pitch, how well their bullpen plays, and how many late game knocks they can get. Devers gives you more chances to do that, but I guess I was hearing all last week about how it's going to be transformative and it's going to be this huge thing. And I understand he's a great hitter, but they didn't look markedly different to me.
I would argue if you want to play small sample, a game like yesterday was the game that the Giants were incapable of winning for much of the season, where a little bit of a score fest kind of breaks out and you're ahead and then you fall behind and then you're ahead and then you fall behind and that's the kind of game that they normally can't keep up. But they did, and I'm not going to give that all to Devers. He was involved in it. I get it. He had a walk and a hit. But, you know, like, yes, you're no matter who your lineup is, you're going to be dependent on pitching well and having a good bullpen and all of that those things. I just think that for the first time in a long time, it feels – it's not even so much about the results yet. It feels when you get to the middle of the order like there's actually a middle of the order.
I think he makes Ramos much more dangerous.
There you go. There you go.
Like watching, I forget which inning was. I was telling Steiny. It's like when they got second and third, and Devers is coming up with less than two outs. Naturally, it's it's okay. We can pitch around and we can walk him. And I think they ended up walking.
They did.
But then it's not a nobody behind Devers. It's Ramos. You can't just walk Devers because Ramos is going to make you pay. Whereas before, it's like behind Ramos would have been in the Devers spot, and behind him is Yaz or Schmidt when he's not 4-for-4, or you know, or
sure.
Tyler Fitzgerald.
Sure.
So they are able to make other teams pay with the guys surrounding Devers as opposed to he himself, like, really doing everything.
It's all right.
Steiny?
I'm with you.
Yeah. you don't even know what he just said.
It's 11:50, 51, 52.
Gosh.
Like, Mark, what you don't understand is...
You going to play with Mikey 2.0 right now or what?
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just
saying. What'd you shoot, by the way?
86, but...
Well, now you know why he's acting this way.
Okay.
How about Mikey?
He's, I don't know, 81, 80, something like that.
Yeah, all right.
Mark, now I will stay.
Doing the crossover with you is like going to dinner with a teenager who's on their phone the entire time.
Dad, I mean, can you hurry up and get the check?
It's like, dude, do you know that there are other people in the room talking to you right now? Do you even know? Like, we're here.
Dad, if I can't get dessert, can we just go home?
It's like we're sitting here talking, and the entire time you're packing up like you're leaving for vacation.
Let me know when you're done.
I'm never done.
Never.
You should know that
Trust
by
me.
Now.
Yeah, that's not a game you want to play.
I ain't never done.
Okay.
I mean, and another one.
The DJ Khaled
and
in this
another
station.
Take.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means he goes on and on to the break of dawn on 95.7, the game.
The game.
You're welcome.
All right.
He was in our foursome.